Sava community, welcome back. What is going on? You're on with another episode with Antonio and Anthony.
What's going on, everybody? How you doing?
Doing all right, Ant. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I feel like I got a little hangover from watching these two ties from Italy. Actually, more than two. Four ties. Two from Italy, two from the U.S. men's national team.
Six ties, if you really think about it, because Italy tied their last two of the Euro Cup.
There you go.
Real quick, before we begin, we just want to give everybody a little warning who's going to be listening. We are currently banned on Instagram.
Yep.
Until September 9th.
Yep.
For whatever reason, Instagram flagged us as bots. So we'll take it as it is. And unfortunately, you won't see any posts from us until the 9th. But I promise you on the 10th, we'll be back.
We'll be back with about 3,442 posts. And then they'll really think that we're bots.
And then they'll just delete us all together.
Exactly.
So, talking about Italy. Obviously, if you listen to our last episode, you know that Italy was competing for the world record of the longest undefeated streak.
That's right.
They achieved it yesterday against Switzerland. Not in the way we would have hoped.
No, but they achieved it.
They got a tie.
I would have preferred them to win, you know, and celebrate it. But, you know, in football, a tie is not a loss. So it counts.
It's the Italian style of coaching. Think about back in the day, you know, Italy was known for playing defense. They would have rather tied a game
right
than lost it.
Because you're still getting points, right?
Right.
You get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, 0 points for loss. So
right.
Let's tie it. Let's get that 1 point. Let's go home.
Some of the best strikers in the world came to play against Italian teams. And they would always say, they're like, I hated playing the Italians. I hated it because they didn't push up.
Well,
they just demolished you defensively.
I mean, for how many years did Italy have the best defense in the world?
But not even international football. Think about AC Milan. Obviously, you should know this.
Yeah, I mean.
But Stam, okay. Then Nesta, Maldini, Gattuso in the front running around like a madman.
At one point in the 90s, the same guys playing in the back for AC Milan were playing for the national team. Baresi, Maldini, Bergomi. I mean, these guys were the same guys, so.
But that's what I'm saying. It was just that style.
Right.
So it's fitting that we achieved this record by tying pretty
right,
much.
Right, right. It's fitting. Right. It is. So, you know, there people are probably wondering, well, who were the, you know, previous title holders, right? So from 1993 to 1996, Brazil held it for 35 matches.
They did. And in that run, Brazil ended up winning a World Cup.
That's right.
The 1994 World Cup.
Here, it was actually here in the United States.
It was. And a fun fact, Brazil technically would have a 40-game undefeated streak. But what ended up happening is they had to play the Olympic qualifiers.
Right.
Now, for those of you that aren't aware, the Olympic qualifiers are played with your under 23 squad usually, right?
Sure.
I think there's an exception. You could bring 1 to 3 players, something along those lines of people over 23.
But all those stats still count towards FIFA's numbers.
FIFA treats them as official national team games.
Right.
So they ended up losing some of those Olympic qualifier games, which is why their streak ended. But the actual national team, if you count it, would have won 40, would have went 40 games undefeated.
Wow.
And it's crazy. During Brazil's run, they actually lost the final of the 1995 Copa America against Uruguay. But because they lost it on penalties, it didn't count against them in the streak.
Right. It's crazy just to think about that, right?
That's the way it works. Listen, if you, like we were saying before, a tie is better than a loss.
Right.
So counts as undefeated.
And then Spain had also 35 matches from 2007 to 2009.
Correct.
And in, I believe in those years, they won consecutive Euro Cups, correct?
So I know Spain won the 2008 Euro Cup, but I believe Spain also won the 2010 World Cup.
Yeah, you could be right. But they did go on to win successive European championships and a World Cup. So yeah, you're right. You're right. 35 games unbeaten from 2007 to 2009. Successive European championships and a World Cup.
Right.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that all in that span. They lost in between because in 2008, they won the Euro Cup.
Right.
Then in 2010, they won the World Cup. So somewhere along the line between the 2008 Euro and the 2010 World Cup, they lost the match.
I believe they failed to make the record to our own national team here in the United States. They lost 2-0.
They lost 2-0 against the United States. Wow.
In the semifinals of the Confederation Cup in 2009.
That's incredible. That actually makes me very, very happy.
Yeah.
Because Jurgen Klopp, no.
Klinsmann
was the coach of the USA right. at the time. I always loved that signing. I thought Klinsmann was great.
We're stepping away from what we had
planned,
but you know, he went above and beyond. He went and became a citizen of the United States. He
got involved with the MLS. He wanted his players to do.
And then they went and said, "You're not doing this fast enough." Well, listen, Rome wasn't built in a day.
But as Italian fans, we have to thank him. We have to thank him for ending Spain's streak. Yeah. So that right. we could overtake it with the 36 game instead That's of right. continuing the push forward.
Correct.
If you look at those Brazil and Spain squads, all right, like in 94, Brazil had Cafu playing for them, okay? They added the original Ronaldo.
And Bebeto.
Yup. And who else was
there? I believe they had
Zinho.
Zinho, yeah.
Zinho. Dunga was there.
Dunga, yeah.
Romário. Those teams were stacked.
Yeah.
Absolutely loaded. And let's take a look real quick at the 2008 Euro squad for Spain. They had Iker Casillas, Raul Albiol, which one of my favorites because he played for Napoli.
Iniesta, right?
Iniesta was on there, correct. Xavi, David Villa. Remember Villa?
Oh, absolutely.
At the time, he was in his prime, 26
yeah.
years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else was on there? Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, he was obviously. A baby. He was a baby.
Yep.
He might have been 19 or 20 years old.
22. Sergio yeah. Ramos was 22 in 2008, all right? Yeah. Xabi Alonso, 26 at the time. Pepe Reina, another Napoli, former Napoli player. He was on there. He was 25. I think at the time, Pepe Reina was playing for Liverpool.
Oh, wow.
Okay. It's just, oh, and David Silva.
Oh, yeah.
David Silva was on that team, too. Just think about these players.
Right.
And how amazing they were, slash some of them still are.
Sure.
We achieved this with Chito Immobile at striker.
Right.
That's the reason we're tying. Yeah, that's the reason we're tying more than we're
and
winning.
And listen, in all fairness, I like to give credit where credit's due. Summer was phenomenal as a keeper yesterday. Listen, Barella should have scored, but he just dropped down and got there so much faster.
Look, Summer was a great goalkeeper, okay? But Insigne blew a few chances. Barella blew a few chances. Yeah. And Immobile blew a ton of chances.
I mean, that's his Immobile's MO, right? He goes back, he puts on the red shirt for Rome and scores 4 goals every week, comes and puts on...
Do you know something that we don't? Because you are convinced that Immobile plays for Rome.
Lazio. I don't know why I keep on
saying... So he puts on his...
You know why I keep on saying it, right? Because, you know, it's across town, so...
He puts on his baby blue shirt.
Yeah, the baby blue shirt. Although he would look good in a red shirt, now that I think about it. We should call this in, see if we can get a commission.
No, just go look at the Torino pictures. Didn't work out too well.
Goes over there, scores a bunch of goals for the club, and then comes and plays for the national team. How many goals did he score in the Euro Cup? 1, 2?
I believe.
He's supposed to be...
It was 2 or 3.
He's supposed to be the goal-scoring striker.
This Italy team is built like a machine to function on building for a number 9. A true number 9.
Right.
Immobile isn't that.
No.
He can't cut it. Whenever Immobile touches the ball, we lose it. It's just what's been happening, especially these past 2 games. At this point, I'd rather see Berardi out there running like a chicken with his head cut off.
Or Belotti.
You like Belotti. I don't.
There's something about him that I like. He's not fast. He's not. He's like a workhorse, right? So you put him in at the end so you could drop back and play defense when you're up 2-1, 2-0. I just like him. There's something about him.
But the problem is for us getting up to that 2-1, 2-0.
You can't get up to it unless Immobile does his job. Now, maybe we should have Joey Bag of Donuts reach out
to Mancini.
To Mancini and see if he could bring in, who'd you say?
Moise Kean.
That's right.
Moise Keane's going to be there. I mean, listen, Zaniolo was out there yesterday. Okay. He got his.
Yeah, I saw that he came out with Chiesa.
Yes. So yeah. Zaniolo's back out there. It's only a matter of time. Now that Keane's at Juventus, Keane's going to be back out there with the squad. And Mancini actually came out and stated, like, Immobile is no longer untouchable on this lineup.
Right.
Because during the Euro Cup, there was a whole big controversy. People were calling for Immobile's head. And Mancini said, he's like, listen, it's usually these players that you guys hate that will win the whole thing for us.
Right, right.
He was wrong. Yeah, Immobile still didn't do anything right in the final. But I will say this. One day we'll look back at this team. Right now, I think I take them a little bit for granted. Because I look at it and I'm like, there's no world-class player on this team, right?
I was thinking the same thing. When you were naming off those players before, I was thinking in my head, we're going to look back at this team and go, wow, these players were on this team. You know, like we look back at the old Italian teams with Baggio, Maldini, and Baresi.
Right.
Back then, we were looking at those players and going, are they going to win a World Cup with this team?
But no, that's not true. Listen, Ronaldo, even in
I'm talking about like the Italian teams. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not talking about the Brazilians.
But still, some of those Italians, the mention of their name made you think of a true player.
But the point I'm trying to make is that I bet the Spanish fans and the Brazilian fans at those particular moments probably thought, And then you look back at it and go, wow, look how great these players were. We took it for granted.
I have to disagree with you there. There's no shot. With the team Spain had and the team that Brazil had, people knew they were witnessing greatness at the time.
I mean, yeah, sure. Okay, I agree. But, you know.
For Italy, it was different. Right. Remember, a lot of these guys, Ant, didn't qualify for the World Cup.
Right.
It's almost the same squad.
This squad right here.
Yeah, it's almost the same squad.
But you got to take into account the one major thing. It's what? Who is
at the helm.
Exactly. Yeah. You know?
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying, like, you never looked at Cafu, for example, okay? We'll bring up another Milan great. You never looked at Cafu and said, you know, he didn't.
Cafu or Kaká?
Cafu.
Okay.
Kaká, I don't believe, was on that 94 World Cup team. Kaká was not there. He was still a baby.
If he was, he might have been on the bench or reserves. He was a baby. He would have been 18, 19 years old.
No shot. He wasn't on the team. Cafu was 24 years old at the time that they played that World Cup. So Kaká was younger
than that, yeah. 94. Yeah, no, yeah, no way.
So, but, you know, you look at some of those players and you never thought any less of them. For a while, I looked at our whole Italian lineup and I was like, these guys just aren't good enough.
Right.
You don't qualify for a World Cup. In my eyes, it's like.
Right, right. But then when we see them playing in the Euro Cup, you're like, oh my God, I've never seen an Italian team play like this.
But there was an excitement again. And this is what we were getting into. So, after not qualifying for the World Cup, between Nations League, a few friendlies, Euro Cup qualifying and some World Cup qualifying matches, and then obviously the Euros, okay? This team won 27 games and tied 9 of them. That's insane.
That's incredible.
That's insane. This is the same team.
Now, when they're winning, it's not like they're just winning 1-0. They're putting some goals up. How many, can you pull up real quick, how many of those matches they've won by more than one goal?
Yeah, there's actually not many. So, if you want to look at matches that they've won by more than one, you got Finland in 2019, they won 2-0. Liechtenstein, that they beat 6-0 in 2019. Armenia beat them 3-1, also 2019. Liechtenstein, 5-0 in 2019. Bosnia-Herzegovina, somewhere around that way.
Bosnia-Herzegovina.
There we go. Thank you. So, in 2020... they ended up beating them by 3 goals. But on the comeback, they ended up tying them. So that's what's weird about this Italy team. And then Moldova in 2020, 6-0.
That's 6-0. I bet you Immobile didn't score a single goal.
I don't know. We'd have to look that up afterwards. Estonia, 4-0. Northern Ireland in 2021, 2-0. San Marino, 7-0. Czech Republic, 4-0.
I mean, so there was more than a handful.
But hold up. Then we started the Euro, 3-0 win, and we never won a game by more than a goal after that. We beat Switzerland, 3-0, and we beat Turkey, 3-0. Right. And that was it.
That was it.
So that's what I'm saying. That's what's crazy about this team.
So real quick, before we go to our break... growing up, I never seen them score more than one goal a game. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for me now and watching this team, it's exciting because they're doing what
you used to remember seeing. Yeah, you know? And I get that. But I guess we just live in a world of football now where all the goals are highlighted. So right. it's like the scoring is what makes it fun and exciting. And right. it's a bad mindset to have. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as we were talking before about the players, right? Like I look at this team, I didn't think anything of them. And then I look at what the base of this team is, what the foundation of this team is. It's Bonucci and Chiellini.
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing.
And they should be teaching their own class at Harvard on how
right.
to defend.
Right. And so, and back then, you know who the base was, right? Maldini and Baresi.
Right.
So, you know, it's crazy
makes sense.
How it comes full circle, right?
But that team back then didn't do what this team did.
No.
That's the crazy
That's
part.
That's it. That's it. So.
But all right, listeners, we are going to take a quick little anchor break. And when we come back, we're going to give you our predictions for the big matches this upcoming weekend in EPL and Serie A. All right, and we're back. So, this week, we got some big games coming up, but yeah. I wouldn't say too many. Some definitely interesting games to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, for example, the one that caught my eye right away in the Premier League this week, we got Leicester City and Man City coming up.
Yep, that's going to be a big one.
Two teams that both look in form, mm-hmm. and I think that they're going to end up having a good match. Especially, yeah. you know, Man City looks like they've gotten their feet under them now. They know what they're doing, because that first game against Tottenham was brutal.
Right. But I think that game right there could be in either a 3-2 or a 2-2 and walk away watching an exciting game.
You want to know my honest opinion?
Yeah.
I'm going 1-0 Man City.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be too many goals.
I think either way, that's going to be an exciting game. You're going to see massive amount of shots on both ends.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. This is a game that I see more being played in the middle of the field a lot. You'll see. I think that both teams are going to have a problem in the final third. That's just what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
And then we got the battle for relegation this week, too.
That's right.
Arsenal, Norwich City.
Yeah. Listen, this is going to be the game that Arsenal wins. It's going to be their first game of their bounce back to, you know, where they are supposed to be, if everyone could see me doing the quote unquote.
It's pretty funny.
So, I think that game will be 2-0 Arsenal.
Going 1-0 Norwich City.
Then the other one that catches my eye.
No, you're not even going to comment on Norwich City beating Arsenal?
No, I'm not, because I already called the score.
You also called them winning first place.
I did.
I will remind you of that for the rest of the season.
The Tottenham Crystal Palace. Tottenham's can go on to be 4-0.
I think Tottenham's going to continue to stay in first place. Yep. I think they're going to put on a show against Crystal Palace. I'm seeing this one have multiple goals.
Yeah, 4-0.
Nah, this is going to be like a 3-1. Crystal Palace is going to put one in, for sure. And then, Chelsea Aston Villa. How do you think Chelsea's going to do?
It's going to be a tough one. Both teams are good, but I've been saying it all along that Chelsea's the team to beat, right? They're a powerhouse. But Aston Villa's been playing well, too. You know,
Aston Villa has been playing really well.
I don't know. This one could be close, too. It could be close, or it could be a blowout, but I think it's going to be a real close game. 1-0, Chelsea.
I'm seeing a couple goals in Chelsea for this one. I'm seeing probably like a 3-0 here against Aston Villa.
All right.
Especially after last week against Liverpool. I think Chelsea's looking to make a statement. You know,
and the other thing too, now that I think about it, a lot of these teams like Chelsea, Man City, Tottenham, not so much. They have multiple players coming back from this international break.
Right.
So you might be a little tired from playing multiple games in a short period of time. So,
absolutely. You know,
we'll see.
It'll definitely be an interesting week. We got Man United, Newcastle too.
I mean, this is going to be Ronaldo's first game. So I think he's going to go off.
I think he's good for one.
I don't know if
he's going to go off, but he's definitely going to be good for one. Underneath his old/new fan base. So I see Manchester United edging this one, obviously, but it's going to be a lot closer.
Edging? You think so? You think it's going to be a
lot closer than people are thinking. Newcastle, low-key, has a decent squad.
They do, but I just don't know if they could match up to Man United.
All right. Oh, have you ever seen the movie Goal, The Dream Begins?
I think somebody mentioned to me one time.
So in the movie Goal, The Dream Begins,
yeah.
there's a player named Santiago Munoz. And he travels over to England,
yep.
gets a tryout, and becomes a professional footballer for Newcastle.
Okay.
All right. And this movie came out years ago. I want to say like 07, 08. It's one of my favorite movies growing up. I've watched it hundreds of times just because, you know, all of us kids playing soccer growing up, had that dream of becoming a pro. I saw an article the other day on the internet.
He made pro.
Not the actor. The actor was Kuno Becker, who's a good actor, in my opinion, for the movie. But it said, when life imitates art, Newcastle signed a player with the same name.
Oh, is that right?
Santiago Munoz.
Well, that's pretty wild.
Mexican player, just like he was Mexican in the movie.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
It was crazy to read. Wow. So, a little
interesting. I've never seen it. For me, growing up, my favorite movie that I watched over and over on the VCR was Victory. You ever watched Victory?
I watched Victory. Another great. That's one with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, based on a true story.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, a little fun of life imitating art there.
So any other teams or any other games? I don't see anything else. Listen, Liverpool, Leeds.
You didn't even give me a chance. I was going to say, the one team we always forget, Liverpool. Yeah, Liverpool's going to kill Leeds. So
yeah.
All right, let's move on to Serie A. I'm going to start with my favorite team real quick.
Empoli?
Yeah, okay. We'll touch on them at the end just because you brought them up. Napoli-Juventus, okay? Made a post about it.
It's going to be a tough one. Can I say the one word? Marfella. That's it.
Why not even start?
So I thought I saw something about the potential starting 11 online that he's been brought up and he's possibly starting.
Well, he's been brought up all season. He's our third goalkeeper. So
he's on the team. I thought he was still with the
Primavera. Yeah. No, not him. The other guy. I can't even pronounce his name. Idziazik or something like that. But no, Marfella's been on the roster. He's our third goalkeeper. Medet's obviously hurt. He's not going to be able to play. They don't know if it's 3 weeks or 3 months, so we'll find out soon. Ospina apparently got banged up in Colombia, but word is right now he's a fine and he's going to be able to come back and play.
But the problem is he's playing the day before.
Doesn't matter. There's going to be a FIFA exception that'll allow him to come back and play against Juventus.
Even without quarantining like they were?
Apparently there's an exception. There's an exception that you can apply for, and FIFA grants it.
So what happened with the Argentine players the other night?
That's mafia. We'll touch on that on another day.
Oh, my God.
That's a whole BS issue.
Yeah. Anyways, this is going to be an interesting game.
Very interesting.
Me, personally, I gotta take Napoli on this one. I really do. I think they're going to win 1-0.
It's going to Juve.
You think so?
As much as I hate to say it, it's going to Juve. And it kills me to say that.
No, see, I don't know. I think Juve is... still not right.
Neither is Napoli.
Napoli looks better being not right than Juve right now.
You got to look at the smaller details, though. Napoli, first week, Osimhen gets a stupid red card. I know we've brought this up a couple times already. Takes a while for us to break through, but finally we score. We put two on one of the weakest teams in Serie A in Venezia, okay? Which is a game that regularly should end a little bit more for a team that is so attacking-minded like Napoli. But it's fine. You give them the benefit of the doubt. We're down, you know, a man. So 2-0, we'll take that score. Up against Genoa, the team looks fatigued. The team doesn't look the way it has in the past. That's a game that we also should be able to take to Genoa with multiple goals. And didn't happen. That game almost came to haunt us, as most games against small teams usually do for Napoli. We got out of there with a 2-1 win. Now you have to take into consideration, Juve tied, and they lost. And not only did they just lose, they lost to Empoli. Okay?
Yeah.
Napoli has barely scraped by their past two games. This is going to be the momentum shift. And unfortunately, it's going to come for Juve at the hands of Napoli.
Well, I don't know, for me, how many players from Napoli are away on international?
A lot. Almost all of them.
Same thing with Juve, right?
Yeah, but they're going to be able to play no problem. They're still in Europe.
No, what I'm saying is... what I'm saying is like they got a lot of players on both teams that are away playing, so they're all going to be fatigued no matter what, the whole entire everyone that's out there. So it's
I don't look at it that way, though, because you got to look at the depth of the rosters. And the depth of the rosters, Juve obviously has more talent.
I mean, obviously. There's no question about it. I still think Napoli's going to win 1-0.
Yeah, you still think that? Did you know that they lost to Benevento today 5-2?
Who did?
Napoli.
Did they? No, I didn't lose. Yeah. I didn't see.
Napoli lost 5-2 to Benevento. So, I'm telling you, the trouble is there. You just got to be able to see the signs. This is going to be a huge wake-up call for everybody who's been doubting Juve and for everybody who thinks that Napoli's off to the right start.
No, we'll see. You're probably right, but I'm still sticking my 1-0. Mafferano is going to play goalie and score the only goal.
3-0 Juve. All right. We got Atalanta Fiorentina coming up.
Yep.
Fiorentina, one of my sleepers for the season. Okay. Atalanta just coming off of a tie. So this is going to be huge to see. Can they rebound? Or is Fiorentina coming off of their, you know, first win against Torino going to be able to keep up the momentum?
I don't know. This, for me, this game, it just does, there's, it doesn't appeal to me. I don't think it's going to be as exciting as the other games. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
You're out of your mind.
But I'd say Fiorentina wins this 1-1.
I'm looking at another tie over here. I think both teams end up scoring in this one, probably about 2 goals. Ends up in a tie, 2-2. But if you don't recognize the beauty of football between Atalanta, first of all, they play one
they're a good team.
They're one of the most beautiful sides to watch. And then Fiorentina under Italiano. Don't forget what Italiano did last year under for Verona. Okay?
Yeah.
They are the pure reason that that team is still in Serie A this year.
Right, right.
So this is going to be a good match.
What do we got for Sunday?
On Sunday. So, real quick, I just have to touch on it because of who signed there. Torino Salernitana. I'm not even going to give you a score because that's one of those trap games that could go either way. It doesn't even matter.
Right.
But Salernitana just signed Frank Ribery.
That's right.
He was presented at the stadium today.
I love Frank. I love him.
It was awesome to see. But for Sunday, the game to watch. This, to me, is the game of the week. Milan-Lazio.
Absolutely. It's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a game that's going to show if Milan is ready. You know, because Lazio is coming off of some high-powered games. You know, they look pretty good. So we'll see how Milan looks as a team going, because Lazio looks like they're like in mid-form already. So
that was until Immobile's got into his head because of what's been going on these past 2 games with Italy. This game is all Milan.
You think so?
Yeah.
Listen. I mean, I wouldn't pick Lazio to beat Milan, but we'll see what they look like.
I told you I love the way Sarri coaches. I love Lazio's team. I took them for granted, didn't even put them in the top five, but this is one of those games that just has Milan written all over it.
Yeah.
I see Milan beating Lazio. It's going to be a close game, but it's going to be like a 2-1 or 3-2.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that too.
Milan's on fire, man. And they're not under that physical stress that you were saying before of all those players going to play international.
They don't have a lot of players that left. Right.
They're grooming a lot of young players.
I'm trying to think right now how many players from Milan are on the.
I think I'm going to take a shot below the belt here. Donnarumma?
Donnarumma doesn't play for Milan. He plays for PSG.
No, that's the point.
Oh, you're funny. So, I mean, maybe that's what they got going for him.
But it's that good mix of youth with veteran leadership.
Right.
And none of these guys are playing international that much yet because...
And you know what? We're coming close to the middle of September too, and it could be the first game Ibra comes back in as well. He's ready to go, so... Yeah.
It's going to be a good game. That's the game to watch. And then we do have to touch on Roma-Sassuolo.
Yeah.
I said this is a trap game for Roma.
You think so?
I think so.
You think Roma's going to lose?
I don't know if they're going to lose. Realistically, my heart's telling me that Roma's going to come out with the win here.
Yeah.
I just hate Sassuolo. Sassuolo is literally that rose that you pick up in a bouquet of flowers, and somehow just on the one side that you're not looking at, it still has a thorn because it wasn't chopped off when the florist was fixing them. That's Sassuolo. Yeah, I hate them.
I don't think Rome's going to lose on this one. I think Roma's going to win.
But it's not going to be easy. If I'm right with my feeling about Sassuolo, they're going to make it hard for Roma. We're not going to see the Roma that we've seen the past 2 weeks. There's one team that we did forget to touch on. Inter Milan versus Sampdoria.
Well, we didn't forget. We just didn't get to them yet.
Okay.
That's going to be a good game, I think. Sampdoria is going to be, give them a good fight.
This is going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
But it's Inter all the way.
Oh, sure.
And I think this is the week Inter takes over the first place in the Classifica.
Yeah. Well, where are they in?
Second.
They're in second. How many ties do they have? They have one.
None. They have 2 wins. They're with Lazio. It's just Lazio scored more goals.
And Milan, too. Milan won the first 2 games, too.
Yeah.
So.
Lazio, yeah. Inter, Milan, Roma, and Napoli. They're all tied.
Okay.
It just goes to the goal differential right now because it's so early on. So,
you know, I think Inter's going to win as well. I think it's going to be definitely a fun game to watch.
I'm only going to touch on this because you brought it up earlier.
This is going to be the game to watch. Who are you kidding? This is going to be the most exciting, boring game of all the whole entire weekend across every single league.
They'd have to pay me to watch this game. I'm kidding. I will watch it, but I'm not happy about it. Venezia is going to get their first win of the year.
And if I was a U of a fan, I'd be pissed.
But this is class. It happens all the time. Venezia and Empoli are playing each other. Empoli is coming off a big win. Okay.
Yeah, they're flying high.
They just beat Juve 1-0. Yeah. They're so much better than they thought. My voice is playing in their locker room. You suck, you suck.
Nobody
so
cares about Empoli.
Yeah. But no, listen, they're going to be not ready for Venezia, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
Because Venezia's hungry. They've lost the last two. They want to stay up. That's part of their project.
And there's guys on that team that are trying to prove themselves, you know, for their club and internationally as well, for their own country. So
Venezia's going to step up big this week. They're going to bring it to Empoli, and I think they're going to win that game. And we're all going to be looking at each other. How the hell did Juve lose to Empoli?
You and I will be laughing. Everybody else will be looking at each other going, how the hell did that happen?
Well, it's just going to be, I'm not going to be laughing because I'm going to be saying, how the hell did Empoli beat Juve when Napoli just lost 3-0? That's what I'm going to be saying.
You'll be saying that, not me.
So this is what we got coming up.
We also have on Wednesday, we have Italy's playing Lithuania. They need to win. There's no tying. They have to win.
We can't miss the next World Cup. So Italy's got to win this one.
They've got to win.
But I think now that they've achieved the record, we are going to see a different Italy side. I think this...
They were just sitting back and trying to grab that record. You know,
they weren't trying for it. But psychologically, when you're competing for things like this, it takes a toll on you. Yeah. So without even realizing...
I was reading an article. Mancini did say, you know, the boys are tired. They're exhausted.
Oh, 100%.
So, you know, hopefully they can get some rest these next couple nights leading into Wednesday. I mean, the game was yesterday. So we got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Three games of rest. We'll take it easy, he was saying at the practices, and then they're going to play Lithuania, which, listen, we talked about it last week. I talked about how England took their game by storm 4-0. They won again 3-0. You know, they're doing what Italy should be doing. I bet it has a lot to do with this record. They come in against Lithuania. They could take a deep breath.
And we're good
and
now.
And just go.
Right. Because, listen, like we were saying, they don't want it to weigh on them, you know, be so close and not be able to achieve it. Now they have achieved it. Pressure's off. We're going to see the real Italy show up to play on Wednesday against Lithuania.
Nice, fast pace, perfect passes. You know,
Chito Immobile missing 5 goals, but it's all right. It'll work.
Impeccable timing by Chito Immobile missing 5 goals.
It'll be interesting to see.
Chiesa.
So, and hopefully by Wednesday, we'll be able to be back on Instagram and we'll be able to bring you guys the updates. All right.
Well, that's it. That's it for me.
It's a wrap for today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. And we'll see you next time.
See you later, guys.